Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears. Hi, everybody. It's Patricia Warby, Alchemy Therapies, my emotional audit and now emotional masterclass. And today I want to talk about anxiety, which is such a common problem for many, many people, and one which I've suffered from myself, chronic anxiety. So we're talking about not the transient state of feeling anxious about something, but that pervasive sense of dread that kind of hangs over you and the feeling that nothing you can do allows you to escape it. Because this is a problem of brain integration. Usually it relates to an over stimulus of your fear system as opposed to your calm system. And I want to talk about that because I've been watching several videos online with Dr. Andrew Huberman talking about this. And I have made several kind of notes which I want to expand on based on the work I do, because I do work with anxiety to a large extent. My main focus is trauma, of course, and trauma is held in the body, but trauma creates anxiety states because it's unresolved emotional memory. We'll come to that in a moment. The main thing that you should understand is that anxiety is something that happens automatically when your brain and body believe you are still under threat. And so it's kind of a sense of stimulus that may not actually relate to reality. It's a best guess by your brain based on the information it's receiving. Now, why would your brain be telling you that you're under threat when in fact you're not? And that's a really, really good question. It's largely because threat is stored in your internal organs, in your vegetative survival nervous system, which is also called the autonomic nervous system. And the autonomics, you may have heard, have two branches with the term parasympathetic and sympathetic, which puts people off because, you know, it's got nothing to do with sympathy. It's got everything to do with alert, alarm versus calm. And so if you think of sympathetic as your alert alarm system and your parasympathetic as your calm system, maybe that's easier to think of. But knowing that these connections are held in the body and that nearly 85% of the information reaching your brain is from your body, it's much more this way, top bottom up, than it is top down. And this is a huge shift in understanding, which we were taught, most of us, that most of the information comes from the brain to the body, and it's the reverse, in fact. So body states actually affect how you feel. Things like your heart rate, the way your gut is turning or churning, and the kind of breath you're making. Are you tight and tense, or are you relaxed and breathing from your belly? They all filter through via your vagus nerve, which is a very important nerve, part of your calm system, up into the base of your brain and gets interpreted by other brain systems. So if you think you've got calm versus alarm and you think of it as a seesaw, this is something Andrew Huberman came up with, which I love. It's not unique to him. I'd already proposed it, but it's kind of good because he talks about the hinge in the middle, which, if you can imagine, it's sitting on a fulcrum, if you like, on the balance part in the middle. And the way that the hinge works would make it slow or very fast. And I think that's a great analog for really what happens in the brain. And the hinge, he reckons, is to do with what's going on in the dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's the part of your cortex, your thinking brain, behind your eyes. And in particular, the dorsolateral, which is sort of towards the back, dorsolateral side. So it's the parts behind and to the side of your front brain. And so how the body is relating the information to the brain and how the brain is then interpreting that information is largely controlled through several brain regions. And we can't isolate one brain region for anxiety. There's no such thing. It's how the parts work together that really indicates whether you're going to feel anxious or not. Your cortex is important because it talks to parts of your central brain, parts of your limbic brain. In fact, your limbic brain is your emotional brain where it regulates emotions. And in particular, two really interesting parts. One is called the insula, and I've talked about the insula before, but it's a very interesting part of your brain, specifically involved in interpreting awareness of body states. And then there's another part adjacent to that called the anterior cingulate cortex, or ACC. And apologies for all the long terminology and names, but I didn't create them. And these are linked to your fear center, so your amygdala response, the one that says danger, danger, your fear alarm system. Now, normally your cortex, your dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, is able to inhibit the alarm system. And it's normally kind of it's the conscious overrule of your unconscious processes, because this feedback from your body to your brain and what goes on in your limbic brain is largely unconscious. And that's why it's very difficult to persuade yourself out of anxiety or to overcome it with willpower, for instance, because these are conscious experiences. And most of your anxiety is completely unconscious. So you could say that your prefrontal cortex is part of your conscious experience overseeing your unconscious experience. And many people's prefrontal cortex, it doesn't come online properly because of childhood experiences, specifically traumatic experiences where comfort and soothing or context of being okay was not available to that person. And so they don't have this self-soothing capacity. And so trauma tends to turn off that part of the brain, which would normally regulate this mind-body connection, this kind of fear response. And so if that part is actually not working, then what happens is instead of the prefrontal cortex overseeing the insula and ACC, it reverses so that the insula and ACC are kind of regulating and controlling things. And so you can imagine that that would create a tremendous amount of anxiety as compared to a sense of being safe to explore. Safety, in fact, is very key in overcoming anxiety, a development of internal safety signals which help to rebalance this system and maybe create a less rapid movement. Or, in fact, sometimes the whole system gets stuck, and you can think of that as a freeze response. What we want is a nice tilting, regulated system which adapts to its environment. And how do we overcome that? Well, largely, I think we have to build capacity within the body to feel connected and safe. And that's something that I do with clients. So that helps you to witness in yourself what is genuinely a threat to you and what may be a creation of your brain that's overestimating the threat. And so you can kind of bring your cortex back online by these signals of safety, which help to rebalance, I believe, the insula, which I think is a really important brain region. I'm not a neuroscientist, but just everything I've read seems to suggest that the insula is one of the key regions in creating anxiety states. Now, don't forget, this also has links to your fear center, but it also has links to your memory. And memory is, it's distributed in different parts of the brain, but one of the main memory areas specifically is your hippocampus, and that's another part of your limbic brain. And these parts are all connected to each other. So things that happened to you in the past that were overwhelming to you are often stored in your kind of limbic brain as an ever-present threat. And that's why often we need to allow ourselves to remember things in the context of a safe connection in order to rewrite those as over and date stamp them and move them into parts of the brain that know that that experience is finished, it's in the past. And that's what I do with people. The other thing to kind of be aware of is that, yeah, so interesting, but it's a these parts of your brain are involved in setting rules in different contexts. So if this happens, I do this would be a rule. You know, if someone looks at me in a in an angry way, I need to run. That would be an example, which, as you can imagine, might have made sense in a childhood in which you grew up, where an angry parent was likely to be violent towards you or another person. But if you carry that rule unexamined into your adult life, you're likely to be triggered every time you see someone looking angry, and they may not be angry at you, they may be angry just generally. And so it's very life limiting in a way to have those experiences that are unconscious. So we need to kind of rebalance this whole system so that appropriate responses are possible. And a lot of that is about making an internal representation of yourself through this prefrontal cortex. So kind of running a potential action in your mind before you engage in it. So it's helping to overrule this autonomic response. And that can actually not only change the way your brain is responding, but of course it has this connection to your body as well, and helps the body relax. And when that happens, that is going to feed back into the brain also, and so you get a sense of calming. So creating new memories or resolving old memories that now feel over is the major effect of some of the tools that I use to help correct PTSD, or sometimes attachment trauma, which is a form of PTSD, because it changes the perspective of the prefrontal cortex so that it can run a new scenario, a new version of you, if you like, a new model of how to react in the current situation that you're in. And so you stop basing your reactions on old past reflex reactions and create new adaptive responses. So this isn't, by the way, a cognitive function. So as I said, you can't persuade yourself to overrule. You have to use the power of your unconscious responses, your imagination, your body-based states to create new scenarios, new versions of response. And it's not a cognitive one, but it does actually form a very powerful feedback loop, which will, when you've resolved the past experiences and feel safe in your body, corrects the overestimation of threat and calms the anxiety very, very quickly. And often people can feel that response after just one session of, for instance, EMDR, eye movement desensitization. I don't like to give the full detail because I don't believe it is a desensitization technique. It's been misnamed, and the developer of EMDR has also agreed with that. She would call it something else now. But the eye movements are really important because they stimulate memory. And so when we're able to resolve memory in social connection with someone with whom we feel safe and not judged, we feel supported rather than abandoned or overwhelmed, we are able to resolve these inner body states that tell us we are unsafe. And so what we're doing is we are changing the rules by which the brain reacts. And so it can create a new response in a new adaptive way that says, actually, this is okay. And so we bring back online the prefrontal cortex ability to orchestrate the unconscious responses of the insula and ACC. And so we get then a much better integration of the way your brain and body work together. And so fear becomes something that is not a ever pervasive feeling, but one that should be adaptive to a situation. And so you lose that dread or that kind of sense of being under threat to one that feels calm most of the time until such point you need to mobilize your system, and that's how it should work. It's actually called the reticular activating system, the part of your brain that kind of mobilizes you to threat. So And adrenaline actually is a really big part of that. So often the feelings we get, like heart racing, maybe our breath goes shallow, we have the pumping sensation, blood running through us, is that adrenaline feeling. And adrenaline, we mustn't forget that the nervous system and the hormonal system are very, very linked. So when I'm talking about the nervous system specifically, I do want to point out that through nerve connections in your hypothalamus, which links to your pituitary, which links to your adrenals, you do get a burst of adrenaline, and at the same time, you also get a burst of noradrenaline in your brain. And they're named adrenaline and noradrenaline because they have similar actions but a different site of release. And noradrenaline is part of this activating system, you know, your fight and flight, if you like. And when that is being stimulated all the time, that's when we get generalized anxiety. So we have to understand that this is a default on system unless it's regulated to turn off. It's a bit like having your thermostat on in your heating all the time. And so understanding that we need to re-regulate the off is key in understanding this. So I hope that's helpful. I hope that gives you some hope for overcoming anxiety states, and that it's not a failure of willpower on your part, or that you haven't read the right things or done the right things, but that it is a body state largely that needs a new connectedness between mind and body. And if you're at all interested in exploring that further, I have a range of different options from online courses through to working one-to-one with me. I'll put the links in the description as always. Anyway, take care, everyone. Have a good week, month, and see you soon. Bye for now.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.